No other name. No one but Jesus Christ. His work on the cross. And that's really the whole thrust of that. It was just awesome message there. Scripturally based. No other name. And name in Scripture actually focuses on person, character, reputation, who they are. It's more than just a title, you know, talking about a name. You know, my name is John, but that doesn't really speak to the issue like the word name in Scripture speaks of the character and essence of the individual. And only Christ and His work on the cross, His dying for us in our place, provides us the salvation, all by faith, no works, by faith in Him. What an awesome thing. Now, back to our study on spirituality. Remember, spirituality is an absolute for the believer. See, it begins with faith in Christ, being identified, as we said, with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. That gives us a position, a standing before God. But that standing, that position, has got to be lived out. And He provides us the resources to do that. We're new creations in Christ. We have all new provision. God, the Holy Spirit, indwells us. He indwells each of us, but He doesn't necessarily fill and empower. And that's the whole issue with spirituality, the absolute aspect. He either is or He isn't. It's sort of like being pregnant. Little, there's no little. It's either or, you know. But anyway. Okay, point four is where we pick up here. So, it's either spirituality in this perspective, the absolute aspect of it. We're either rightly related to Him or we're wrongly related when it gets back to the decisions we make. Spirituality in this perspective, then, is an either-or proposition. The believer at any given moment in his human experience is either spiritual meaning in right relationship with the Holy Spirit, or, as we put on that listing when we first looked at those names and characteristics way back in the first part of the first hour, fleshly. Still a believer, but fleshly. Operating under the old nature's domination, not the Word and the Spirit's, as the spiritual believer is. So there's a clear contrast there. And that's what I'm referring to here when I talk about the absolutes. Nowhere are we as believers ever commanded to become more spiritual than we are. It's an absolute. We either are or we aren't. We are commanded, what we saw last week. What was that little an acronym or the little MPR? Most pressing responsibility. To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as believers. Now that, we are commanded to grow in grace and knowledge. We are commanded to the gate. We looked at Colossians 1, 9 and 10. A number of passages that emphasize that aspect of we need to advance in the understanding of the Word of God. So that we have the capacity, the insight, the understanding that we need. So that we can live a Christian life. Deal with all the external issues that are going to be coming our way. And do so in a manner that glorifies our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we are commanded to grow in grace, knowledge. Spirituality, then, we need to understand, is an absolute. Growth, spiritual growth, and you almost hate to use this, the spiritual only it, because it means something different when we use it that way, with growth. But the maturation... I think that would be Ron Merriman's term, maturation, maturity. I like to look at, as believers, we need to always be advancing. There, when we think of maturity, don't we kind of have an idea in our mind, even if we don't say so, that maybe somehow we've arrived, we've reached a level that is awesome, whatever. But see, like Paul, we need to be always advancing up that, you know, and the idea is to be conformed to the image of Christ, and it's always advancing. And there's always, he always looked at it even to the end of his life, that he hadn't arrived yet, that there was always more. See, the Word of God is dynamic. It's awesome. And the provision is awesome. And so we need to keep thinking of it in that direction. But there is growth in that aspect, in the Word, in our capacity to relate to it. And but not in spirituality. It's an absolute. When you look at passages like Galatians 6:1, and I just want to touch on one aspect there. Paul makes a assumption here. He's dealing with a situation. He says, brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, you who are spiritual. He assumes something there. In that passage we looked at this morning in 1 Corinthians 2:15, it refers to spiritual believers. The concept is not 50%, 60%, 90%, but 100%. Now, in other words, you're not 80% spiritual and 20% carnal or fleshly. It's either or. And we need to remember that. It's an absolute. So when he puts in Galatians 6:1, you who are spiritual, he's addressed those that are in fellowship and are able then and have the capacity to apply the truth of the Word of God to, and the insight and understanding they gain from it in evaluating this circumstance, this situation, to deal with this individual that's had a problem spiritually and is requesting now. He's requesting some help, and you're responding to that. And he gives them a warning too. Be careful. Be careful. Don't become arrogant, because you might get yourself, as you get involved in here, and get involved in the same kind of sin, lest you too be tempted, he says. Fifth thing. Confusion about spirituality often results from a failure to make a distinction between the spirituality and the maturation or maturity aspect. The first, as I've said, does not admit to degrees. The second does. Our growth is in degrees. Doctrine, truth is built on truth. We need to learn some basics. We need to advance to the next level. You know, we keep working. And sometimes we'll be covering something that maybe you don't have the basics for or something. And you have to be patient. We will be going hopefully over and over so that we finally fill in all the blanks so that, at some point it's like the light goes on. But, if we look at that as a light, we can, the light bulb here, and that's a true NDLC, a socket. Okay. Well, you've got to use your imagination a little bit here. I'm no artiste. But anyway, this is the believer. If he's out of fellowship, the light's off. It's dark. Can't see very far. Now, so he recognizes his situation, utilizes the grace provision of 1 John 1:9 to confess his sin, to name, cite, to agree with God that whatever his situation is was sin. It was already paid for in the cross. It's already been judged. And he's forgiven for that sin. God the Holy Spirit is empowered, so what, the light goes on. We've got some light coming out here. You know, the old filament lights up, and we got some light. The intensity of that light is related back to the maturity aspect. Whether it's on or off is the spiritual aspect. You know, whether one is, and I'll just use this, filling of the Holy Spirit. It's actually filling by the Holy Spirit, but we'll get into those issues later. Whether he's empowering or not is whether it's on or off. Or are we out of fellowship? Say, operating under that old sin nature's power. And when it is, no matter how much doctrine, how bright this is when we're filled with the Spirit, if we choose to let that old nature rule, that light's off, it's dark. We can't see to put the next, the psalmist, Psalm 119, talks about how awesome the Word is. It lights our step. we're out of fellowship. There's no light for that step. So we're back making decisions on our own power, our own viewpoints. And, you know, when we're doing that, we can make a lot of mistakes. Consequences are great. But when we're filled by the Spirit, the light's on. We're illuminated. We have the capacity, the insight to make right decisions and move in the right direction. And, you know, it's not only is our foot, you know, the next step in that, in Psalm 119 with 103, 105, somewhere down in there, but also the whole course of one's life. That light needs to be on, folks. And it needs to be bright. Needs to be bright. I don't need to yell, do I? I mean, you're... But it does. It needs to be bright. Okay? The maximum benefit in the Word of God and your relationship with Christ. And when you do that, what are you going to be doing? You're honoring Christ. You're reflecting Him in your life. Okay? But it takes this and that maturation right in that Word. You can't separate them, because, you know, the light can be on, but the intensity of that light gets back to right here. Okay? You can't separate those. And, you know, I've known people over the years that, boy, they could quote you Scripture, I mean, all day. But the reality was not there in their life because the light was always on. They could quote you the Scripture. I mean, W.C. Fields could quote major portions of Scripture. And if you know who he is, with a big bulby nose and played in those old movies back in the 30s, you know. What was he? He didn't like kids or dogs, was it? Or something like, I don't know. He was supposedly, wasn't that, I don't know, something like that. But, the old movies. That reminds me, it's hardly Christmas anymore without being able to turn the boob tube on and turn to 15 channels and watch It's a Wonderful Life. It's gone. I mean, you can buy the video. NBC owns it now and they don't let it out, but once a year. I think that's what it is. Once, maybe twice. I don't know. But anyway, let's recognize spirituality. The light needs to be on. It's either on or off. The intensity of that light relates back to the Word. Okay? Any questions? You see that? Does that do something to help understand? You know, that's the relationship, really. And, you know, I used that years. I don't know why. Just come to me this time. Anyway, hadn't used that in a long time. So we can, even a new Christian, a new believer, can be spiritual. Rightly related in that absolute sense to the Holy Spirit. But that new Christian cannot be mature. It takes time to learn the Word of God. See, it takes, in fact, we could put down there a little chart there. Maturity equals time, a little, you know, plus KOT, knowledge of truth, plus that nasty one. That Lex one's a nasty one. Yeah. AOT. Application of truth. See, that's the one where we got to take that truth in our life over time as we live it and apply it. Live it out. That's where the rubber meets the road, see? And that's the tough part, really. But see, the thing is, everything is provided. It's there for you. Need to make those applications. Okay. So we have to, in our thinking, keep that growth and maturity and maturation separate, distinct in our thinking from spirituality. But then you say, okay, Pastor, what about 1 Corinthians 2:15? Which says, he who is spiritual appraises all things. Or as the King James puts it, he that is spiritual judges all things. The appraising and judging. I think I put the word in there. It's anakrino, yeah. To judge, to evaluate again and again and again. I mean, you know, it's not just a one-shot deal. What does this mean? If even a babe in Christ qualifies as being spiritual. Simply this, the all things in the context, and you have to go through the whole context here, and you see where it's referring to in verses 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. The all things is referred to a number of times. Refers to the things that God has for saved mankind, in other words, for believers. Now, the point is that the babe in Christ or any believer rightly related to the Holy Spirit can judge, evaluate, interact in such a way as to make a decision, to sift, to examine what's coming in, what's coming at him. That's the anakrino. The crino is the judge, ana, preposition attached, again and again. The judge again and again, over and again. And that's where you get the idea of evaluating. Interacting with something. Making a decision. To examine. We can do that no matter what our spiritual growth is or where we're at in that aspect. We can do that to the things that the Holy Spirit has for us at any given moment. If we're rightly related to the Holy Spirit. If we're a believer who is not operating in that fleshly category with that old nature ruling and dominating. And if people stop and think, if they took spirituality to not be an absolute, they really get to dig themselves a hole here. With this verse, it cannot mean that the infinite knowledge, infinite judgment belongs to some believers and not to others or something. But it's related back to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what He's trying to get across to you at that point in your growth process. Six, next thing on the list here. So spirituality becomes, in a very real sense, a means to maturation, to maturity. We don't get there. That light doesn't get any brighter apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because it's off. We're dead. We have no insight. I don't know if I should. Somewhere here. I'll show you a chart. Something I did. This is almost 20 years ago. Not quite, but almost. So come out of seminary. At some point, we'll have to integrate somebody. But it might help explain a few things, maybe. Are you sufficiently snowed? That's you. That's you. You got that? Okay, we'll move on now. Oh, whoops. I thought it had two of them there. Well, okay. Now, can't you see? This is the brain. This is the brain stem here. You know? And all these, you got afferent coming in, coming out. You know, everything in your brain is wired to all the, you know, when you, somewhere up here, you're saying, move my hand. You know, all that stuff comes down here and goes out there and actually, you know, wiggle your fingers, whatever, okay? But you get all those little places up there, arm, leg, all these things. Remember, I did mention a few weeks ago, Adam, that they've done a lot of studies. They've gone in and done a lot of operations on people, and they open up their head and they've got problems. And, you know, they can prod here and there, and they can make all these things happen. The arm move, leg, all these things. They have yet to prod at any place and have anybody make a decision. Because the decision-making process and even these secular neurosurgeons, psychiatrists that have been working with this kind of stuff have come to the conclusion that what they have described as the process of mind is external to what the brain is doing. The brain is the storage place for truth, a storage place for information, storage place for your, those kind of things, okay? But this up here is the soul. This is where, you know, that immaterial part of us, being made in God's image, that stuff, okay? Hey, that's where the actual thinking is. Well, the information, we take it in, we store it here. But the key thing is, we need as believers to make sure that this process is functioning. We've got the natural route back in to bring information in and out of the brain into the soul for making decisions. Volition being part of it, emotion, all this stuff is a part of it. But we need the spiritual path operational. See, we don't emphasize it enough probably. It's one of the things that we come to faith in Christ. We have a human spirit attitude. And this gives us the capacity to relate to Him. And this is the line the Holy Spirit uses. And when we're taking in the Word of God, and the concept we're studying here, spirituality, God the Holy Spirit is empowering and filling, then we're taking that input in, we're hearing, we're understanding, we're taking that material in, we're storing it, getting a clear readout of that truth through the spiritual apparatus, if you will, into the brain where the storage is. Okay? Now, when we're living our life, if we're going to be able to take that information, pull it back out, use it for discernment, to make the right decisions, we need that same process going. If we shut down the ministry of the Holy Spirit, then it's going to go back to the natural route, corrupted by that old nature, and we're going to get a distorted readout, and we're not going to have the capacity, you know, to make good, solid choices that we ought to be making. It's going to be distorted, the truth that we know. See, that's why it's so important, and I think this really points it out, even though, and we should go back, you know, it'd take probably 4 months, 5 months to teach through this. But anyway, if I remember what it took me, anyway. We need that clear readout of the truth. And so we need to make sure that, well, so much for that. But I shouldn't write on my overheads, but I do. I just erase it for the next time. But anyway. But you see what I'm trying to say? There's a spiritual process. There's a natural process. And we get right back to this big volition in the middle that is the decider, you know, the switch, which is operational. And we need to concentrate here and make sure. This is why it's a moment-by-moment thing. And it really points out, I think, also why it's crucial that we have this apparatus in operation all the time. And, you know, even pastors have their days. They got to make sure that they're moving in the right direction. I mean, I would be, you know, just don't talk to my wife because you'll get the straight scoop there. See, you know, what would I do with it? Now that I've got you totally confused. Yeah, but I need to get a new one, that's what I need, right here. Okay. My downstream objective, hopefully, is to find one of those dealies I can put on here and roll the thing across. But nobody had one that I could find. Okay. Now, point seven. Very important here. Spirituality is maintained. And really what demonstrates it, you know, is walking by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit. Having that spiritual apparatus, that path in operation. As opposed to walking by the flesh. Which is the same, really, I take those the same as being filled by the Spirit. If you're walking by the by the Spirit, you're filled by the Spirit. You can't separate it, you know. They're both ongoing at the same time. And involved in this is a responsiveness to the Spirit's prompting through the Word. And that, you know, we develop a conscience, norms and standards in a conscience. And when we choose to step outside of the will of God, choose to sin in some way, God the Holy Spirit tweaks us through that conscience. And we know we're out of fellowship. We know that. It's there, it's tweaking on us. Now, if we continue in the process of choosing to operate out of the fellowship over a long period of time without utilizing the grace provision of 1 John 1:9, getting back in fellowship daily, we will start to build so much scar tissue on our norms and standards in the soul that no longer, you know, that hinders that tweaking of us, as I refer to it, by the Holy Spirit. It really, Paul talks about that scar tissue. You know, if you've got some real good scars, or if you've been out there chopping wood for 15 weeks and you've got calluses all over your hands, they're not very sensitive. Well, it's the same kind of deal, the same kind of word used in the text to refer to it. We become less sensitive to the Word of God as we stay negative to it over and over a longer period of time. That's why it's so important to be consistent, taking in the Word of God, studying the Word of God, developing a frame of reference for conviction, the norms and standards, so that God the Holy Spirit has things to work with in it. And that's part of the maturation of the maturing process. See, the Spirit of rightness, God the Holy Spirit, will faithfully convict the believer of sin through the conscience. And of course, what is our response? The right response is to confess our sin. Utilize what God has provided in grace. And we as believers are not to quench or grieve the Spirit. That's how we know. You know, we can evaluate, are we quenching the Spirit? Are we grieving the Spirit? Are we walking by the Spirit? Things we need to ask ourselves. Point 8. No discussion of spirituality is complete without a thorough consideration, as I already mentioned, of the truths of Romans 6. But we're just dealing here with a summary, and I just want to simply address a couple of issues towards the end here. We will get into these in more detail, and we'll go back through the passage in some detail. Because we need to understand these things. Because so when we get to verse 11, count on these things as true. We know what he's talking about, that we should know. And he emphasizes knowing it a couple times in there. Some crucial things here in verse 13, 16, 19 and stuff as we go through here. But we have the term yielding. Shows up here a few times. And as taught by many, takes on a wholly negative concept and emphasis. But I think when we examine the Scripture, it's not a negative concept, yielding. It's a very positive one. Very positive. Yielding is often equated with giving up things. Giving up things. Giving up some sin. Or as I've read, somebody's plucking up one sin at a time and getting rid of it. You know, goofy things. You know, whatever displeases God in one's life. Such a view obviously concludes that spirituality is never complete, never absent. So they're mixing spirituality and maturity is what they're doing. So it's never complete, never absolute, since there's always some new sin that needs to be plucked up. See, I don't know, it's like plucking feathers on a chicken. I don't know. It's just, anyway. Yielding is better translated, present. In fact, present for service, as it is in Romans 12:1. The verb is parhistemi, meaning to place beside, to stand by, to present. The concept of this verb is very positive. Very positive. It's similar to like when I was in the service, and a military person presenting himself to his commanding officer for positive service. In other words, volunteering for duty. Of course, that was one of the first things that I was told when I went in, don't ever volunteer for anything. But, you know, you get yourself in trouble. But anyway, yielding, presenting yourselves for service. This presentation is the attitude that the believer, once the sin nature servant, which we were as on the other side of the cross, is now to be God's servant, His servant. And that's really the thrust here in verse, oops, I didn't even turn to it myself, Romans 6, 13. And do not go on presenting. And I think the old King James does put yielding there, but presenting for service the members of your body to sin, to that sin nature. Now, see, the subject, you've got to look at and analyze these things. Who's doing the presenting here? The individual's making some decisions to present themselves. Your body to sin. Your the members of your body. Your arms, your hands, your eyes, whatever. Your legs. To sin. As instruments of unrighteousness. But, same verb, parastami, present yourselves as your challenge. We're going to be challenged. Point of time. Here, there. We're going to have to make a decision. And here's the positive. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. See, we died to sin nature. We don't have to let it dominate anyway. We're alive to God in Christ. What an awesome thing. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Change the whole thrust here. Verse 17, he hits the same thing. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, that sin nature, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching. We got to get some teaching, some instruction to which you were committed. And then verse 18. And having been freed from sin, freed from that sin nature, separated from its power, you became slaves of righteousness. Slaves of righteousness. See, it all goes back to, you know, His total provision. But we've got to make some decisions there to make sure that we utilize or are in the right state, spiritual in that sense, like rightly related to God and the Holy Spirit. No one confessed sin. And then we have that privilege of presenting ourselves to Him for service daily in our life and having impact for Jesus Christ. So it's an attitude also. Now, I love it. There in verse 13, when he emphasizes there, it's a command. It's an imperative. Present tense. Keep on doing this. This should be a habitual pattern of your life. Present yourself to God as alive from the dead. One does not make yourself more alive to God by presenting himself. He is alive because he's in Christ. The presentation means we give consent and constant recognition of the fact to God in our thinking. And then what flows from it? See, first it's got to impact, the word's got to impact our thinking, and then it impacts our actions in our life. So the presentation means that one's attitude towards life is compatible with one's position in Christ. See, I've often, especially when we were studying 1 John, you know, as believers, we're born ones. We have a paternity, which is what? In Christ. In Ephesians, Paul uses either in Christ, in Him, to refer to this position, this paternity, 35 or 6 times, bunches of times, to emphasize this. We have this paternity. It's a fact. That will never change. When you believe in Jesus Christ, your future is set. That position is secure. That's why we can say you have eternal life. You have, you're eternally secure in Christ. Because that's not going to change. But now we need to live out that paternity. And that's what he's talking, the yielding or the presenting for service gets down to that living out one's paternity. Reflecting the character of Christ in our life. So that's what the presentation here really gets down to, the living out of the reality of what he just talked about in those first 10 verses. So we have this, our attitude, our thinking, our actions are compatible with our position in Christ. So the presentation, again, is first the mental response to God on the basis of knowing biblical truths. The first 10 verses of chapter 6. And of course, it was referenced in Colossians 3, 1 through 4 that we read. It's referenced a number of times in Ephesians. It's referenced other places. But this is the major portion, or major passage, where it focuses on that. So walking by the Spirit daily will evidence itself in this presenting oneself to God. Our paternity in Christ being lived out. The foundation of this is the identification truths, as I've already said. And hopefully that's going to be indelibly printed in your mind and your thinking this morning, just how important those things are. It is the foundation. And as we get into it, it's so important. You see, you can't build the structure. You can't construct your life if you don't have the right foundation. And that's important for us to understand. Now, point 9. Where's the... Oh, here it is. Yeah, we need to be out of here by noon, so... I'm going to squeeze it down to maybe till 10 of, so... we'll make it, I think. But I'm not going to make it. This was my first hour. And we still got there.
You're optimistic, anyway.
Well, you need to be prepared. But as I've been thinking about it and praying about it, there's so much. You've got to be, not only do we have to be flexible about some other, I've got to be flexible about where to go, because sometimes it may, get sidetracked, with little bulbs and those goofy pictures that, hopefully, we'll get there someday. Well, if you hang in there, we'll get there. You see, when we read that passage in Galatians 6:1, Paul intends there, when he makes that statement, you who are spiritual, Paul intends each of us to know if we're in that category. And how do we know? Are we grieving the Spirit? Are we quenching the Spirit? Are we walking by the Spirit? You answer those three questions and you'll know. You can know. It's not a nebulous woo-woo thing, Okay? Or that somehow God just makes it all happen and you're not even in the loop somehow. Okay. Now, I just put in there some conclusions, just some things to think about there. Five things at the end. God desires us as believers to be spiritual, to be rightly related to God, the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want us wandering out there in the darkness. God is light, and in Him is no darkness. He wants us to walk in that light, to walk by the Spirit. See, John uses some different terminology, talking about the same thing. There in 1 John 1:7, to walk in the light. Only spiritual believers can be used maximally of God. And I put it that way for a reason, because God can use even a believer out of fellowship to challenge you. He can, and you'd be surprised. Sometimes that believer out of fellowship that's going in the wrong direction will be the vehicle that tweaks you to get you back on track. So, I mean, God can still use them. And so that, but not maximally. I mean, we don't as an individual do anything, you know, that's going to benefit God when we're out of fellowship. But He could still utilize us towards others in a way. So we have to recognize that. See, because they might actually quote some scripture, they don't even know what it means, but that God could use to challenge you, say. So, third thing, and that's one thing that always chaps me, is that surface orientation where somebody's proof texting, taking it first out of the context, doesn't mean anywhere close to what they're trying to say. And I just cringe every time. I just go, oh, you know. But usually when you try to explain it to them, they don't want to hear it. So, anyway. Third thing, spiritual believers, in other words, those that are not fleshly, not carnal, can honestly know they are rightly related to God's Spirit, hence spiritual. You can know. You know that you've grieving the Spirit. You know you've sinned if you've sinned. Even with all the awesome resources that are ours in Christ, in that new creation in Christ, we can still choose to put ourselves back under that domination of that old nature. But we choose to do that. But we can know that. We can know that we're spiritual in that sense, in the absolute sense. At any moment. Check yourself out. Evaluate your situation. Unconfessed sin? Deal with it. Are you rejecting and rebelling against the Word of God? Quenching the Spirit? Then you can't be walking by the Spirit. We need to be walking by the Spirit, walking by His power. The fourth thing, spiritual believers do not brag about nor call attention to their spirituality, nor do they feel they have reached a point of spiritual maturation, maturity, or at some level of excellence beyond which there is no growth. I don't think there is a place like that. I don't think it exists, as I mentioned earlier. We always need to have that attitude that each day, okay, Father, what do you have for us today through your word so that I can focus more on Jesus Christ and what he's done for me and so that I can be more effective as I present myself for service. Every day is a new day and we need to approach it prayerfully before him. Then the last thing there, point five. Spiritual believers enjoy. So you spend time rightly related to the Spirit, applying the truth of the bulb is getting brighter, you're having an impact. The fruit of the Spirit, you're going to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And Galatians 5, 22, 23 gives us those categories. Hopefully we will look at Galatians 5, or Galatians period in due time. But there's some awesome stuff there. But he says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, the product of the Spirit's empowering in the life, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You see, it's not produced, none of these things are produced by either the Mosaic law or any external law system, only by the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the Word. So we enjoy the fruit of the Spirit produced in our thinking, in our mentality, the consciousness of growth, maturing, as we learn and apply the Word of God, doctrine, and the repeated demonstrations of the effectiveness of the life of Christ in them, in us, as we face and deal with all kinds of varied issues in life. And every day is a new day. You just, you know, just like yesterday, all these people flying across the Atlantic Ocean to go from Paris down to Miami for vacation or whatever, going home or maybe whatever. All of a sudden he gets some dingbat up there in the airplane that's trying to light a fuse in his shoe. Yeah, did you hear about it? He had a, what they think is C4, plastic explosive, in his shoe. And he's got these little holes drilled in there and got these wires coming out, and he lights a match to ignite this thing. Now, of course, he's going to blow himself. His tootsies are going to be all over the place. And they think he's got a phony passport, but so, you know, they're not sure who he is even right now. So they diverted the airplane to Boston, got him off. But they had to subdue this guy. One sharp stewardess smelled the, you know, when you light a match, you get that acrid smell of that sulfur stuff, you know. Something's going on here. And she found out quickly who it was and saw these wires coming out of his steel. And she tried to subdue him, and some of the other people helped her. And they finally got him strapped down, and they had some kind of medical kit. So the doctor, there's two doctors on board, and they injected this guy with something to calm him down, to keep him, you know, sedated, you know. But you just never know. You know, every day's a new day. How are you going to deal with those situations? Tough ones. That's a tough one, you know. Depending on how much. Now, C4 is, you know, remember PAM 103 years ago? They had just a little bit of a blob inside of a portable radio. Blew that plane out of the sky. That stuff is very powerful. Very powerful. How much of this stuff, what mixture, what combination? They're studying that now because they got it. But and they got him, too. But what are you going to do? Are you going to panic? Or are you going to look to the resources that you have in Christ? But see, those resources will not be there if you have not believed in Jesus Christ yet. That's where it begins. See? Because, yeah, right here. Right there. There is an insurmountable barrier between a holy and righteous God and anyone who has not believed in Christ. And no amount of works, nothing that we can do on our own, is going to cross that barrier. But Jesus Christ, see, God through Jesus Christ has provided the means to remove that barrier, to establish a relationship between now that new creation in Christ, who's been entered into union with Christ when we believe, but it's all by faith. Faith in that Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, he died, paid the penalty for your sins. He had you in mind when he went to the cross. And so, as we close things out this morning, I want you to know your resources are available to you if you believe in Christ. Everything that we've been talking about just is really designed for the believer going in the right direction, making those decisions in his life so that he or she can utilize the awesomeness of that new relationship and the provision through his word that and the Holy Spirit who indwells to energize that word, illuminate that, and make it real so that we can understand who we are in Christ and what we need to be doing in our life and reflecting the character of Christ. This is crucial. You need to understand it. There's no way across this barrier. Religion won't get you there. Going through all the goofy stuff won't get you there. But simple faith in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, his completed work, will get you there. So, okay. So, that'll wrap it up, I think, for this morning. And then we'll close in prayer. And then hopefully next week we'll be out there. Yeah. So we'll be in good shape for next week. Won't be quite so scrunchy. Now, see, some says, boy, I really like this intimate deal. Well, it got intimate this week, so that's all right. And thank you for coming. And but stay focused here, and we'll keep plugging. And I'll be here as long as you're here.
Wednesday.
Not right now. We can't. We will be eventually. Hopefully, after the first year, we'll get there. But next Sunday morning, 9:30, out there in the big room. And for those that are here and desire to advance to the next step, and we'll be going back to the foundation things here and start looking through the whole aspect of positional truth and just how all that passage relates. And there's some neat stuff there. Father, we're indeed thankful for your grace. We're thankful for the opportunity to get this overview of a glimpse back into the principles related to spirituality, our being related to God, the Holy Spirit, and that whole capacity that is ours that you have provided by grace so that we can have impact in our life for Jesus Christ, knowing that the Holy Spirit's ministry in and through us as He illuminates your truth is there for one main reason, to glorify you. And through everything that we choose to operate in the right sphere and apply your truth and stay conformed to the image of Christ and walking by the Spirit, all these things for one reason, so that we can glorify you in our life. And we just thank you for this opportunity to come together this morning and study these things, and even in the unsettledness of the circumstances, and we just pray that even in the midst of that we will be focused on your word, your truth, so that Christ can be glorified in our life. In his name we pray. Amen.